So the word here says that I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation. But I found it necessary, look at this, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, that means encouraging you, but that word is a very intense word, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith. This is in the book. This is in the Bible. Amen. This is not just something that faith churches and faith preachers, and this is God's word. That he found it necessary. He found it necessary to write to them, to exhort them, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. When we open up the Bible, when we open up the book of Acts, when we look throughout the epistles and all the writings of the apostles and all those that wrote in the New Testament, we see faith. We see the need for faith. We see faith toward God. It was written to the saints so that we could know it, so that we could understand it, so that we could contend for it and live for it. These are days we've got to be contending earnestly. Back in 2013, Dr. Dufresne, y'all remember Dr. Dufresne, right? Wonderful man of God who's now in heaven. Right before he departed and went to heaven, left all the rest of us here. How I miss him. But right before he departed for heaven, he made this statement. He said, there are doctrines on the scene to destroy the faith message and the church. As a prophet of God, he said something. He said it right before he departed for heaven. He said that there are doctrines on the scene to destroy the faith message and the church. I've seen some of that. The devil's out to destroy the faith message. He wants us to think it doesn't matter. It's all up to God. Let's just case the raw sarah through the tip through the tulips, whatever may be, will be. No, we got to contend earnestly for the faith. We got to know what God says. We got to believe it. We got to say it. We got to act upon it. Because the truth is that when Jesus comes, he's looking for something. There are not very many times in the scriptures that Jesus says he's looking for something or someone. Very, very few. He's looking for worshipers, those who are going to worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for faith. The Bible says in Luke 18:8 that when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's what he's looking for, faith. Jesus is looking for faith. We're going to have to live by faith. It doesn't matter if we like the concept of faith. It sure would be easier to sit back and just hope that it's all up to God and that God does a good job with it. But the truth is, that's not how it works. We got to live by faith. We got to have faith. We got to develop our faith. We got to use our faith. We got to grow our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, faith is it's a controversy, actually. At least faith as we know it. Everybody believes, most Christians believe in general faith to be saved, general faith to know God. But there's a lot of Christians that get really, really, really mad when you start talking about having to live by faith and that by faith we can receive and by faith we speak and things happen. I mean, it's a very touchy subject. The devil hates the faith message, and that's why we're going to stick with it. Right in the very face of every devil, every doctrine of the devil, and everything that stands contrary, we're going to stick with it. Amen. We're going to stick with it. Listen, and if you're with us when Jesus comes, he's going to have found faith. He's going to have Sandy, the faith girl. Boom. Amen. Amen. We're going to be faith people to the end. It's not something that we learn about and outgrow. It's the basis of everything. Faith is the basis of everything. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know where I'm headed, right? Yes. Chapter, what do you think it is, Patty? Tell me what it is. What verse is it?
Well, it's going to end at least 12.
12! She got it! Praise God! She's led by the Spirit of God. Here we go. Let's read verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith.
Hallelujah.
I love that it's a good fight. I'll get in any fight that's a good fight. It's only a good fight if you win. But I want to tell you that every faith fight wins. If it's a real faith fight, it wins, because God's kind of faith never fails. I'm going to say it again. God's kind of faith never fails. We might fail, but God's faith never fails. And that makes it worth the fight. That makes it worth sticking it out, putting your nose down to the grind, and just saying, I'm going to get the victory. In the end, I'm getting the victory. Hallelujah. So it says to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So here it tells us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. I believe that those are connected. There's really no way to lay hold on eternal life. There's no way to lay hold of all the things that Jesus already laid hold of for us.
Hallelujah.
We can only lay hold of them by faith. By knowing what He got for us, believing what He got for us, speaking what He got for us, acting upon what He got for us. So it's as we fight the good fight of faith that we're able to lay hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. So we're going to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. Well, part of the fight of faith is that we stir ourselves up. And that's what I'm talking to you about tonight. If you're going to fight the fight of faith, the good fight, and win, you're going to have to learn to stir yourself up. Amen. That's a part of the faith life. As long as we're in this body, as long as we're in this earth suit, we're going to have a natural self. We're going to have an old man. We're going to have a flesh that wants to rise up and steer our life and talk to us. But we're going to have to live spiritual. And the only way we're going to live spiritual, the only way we're going to live by faith, is to be able to stir ourselves up. Amen?
Amen.
Stir ourselves up to what? To God.
Yeah.
Stir ourselves up to God within. God upon. Stir ourselves up to the good things, to the Bible things, to the right things, to church things, to kingdom things. We got to stir ourselves up. You know, even though I'm the pastor tonight, I get to say some things about church life because it's important for you. You're going to have to stir yourself up in church life. You can't get bored with your assignment, with your, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. Most of the time, it's our natural self. Not that God sometimes doesn't move us into something else, but not all the time. I was just up somewhere and I heard someone say this. They said, well, I've been a youth pastor for 17 years. And people ask me all the time, well, when are you going to go ahead? And they said, this is it.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's right.
Just because I'm a youth pastor doesn't mean that that's a stepping stone.
Right.
Just because we're back in the children's ministry doesn't mean I'm just going to do that for a little while till I can do something else. No, some people are really called to children's ministry forever. And this is how the church functions. I mean, when people get out of place, when people get tired and bored and they begin to think, oh, I've done this so long, surely there's something else. No, you better go back to God, because this is what I know. This is what I know. You want to know what I know? You want to know what I know? I know it by the Spirit and I proved it out. God never moves you into anything else because you're bored or you're tired or you think you know it all or you think something's out of sorts. God never does it that way. Ever. He only moves you when you're happy, when you're full of grace, when you're content, when you're doing excellently, when you're doing it and still loving it, then He might consider if there's something else for you to do. It's true, but we have to stir ourselves up in this. We have to stir ourselves up. Listen, spiritual life is better when it's stirred up. Your life is better when things are stirred up for you. When things are active, when things are lively, when things are alert. It's better for you. It's better for God. It's better for your neighbor. It's better for your family. It's better for your pastors. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Woo, I barely got started. What are we going to do with this? Second Timothy, I love Sandy. She's a stirrer-upper. Listen, and this is important. I'm sure that in her natural self, sometimes she wants to sit at home and kind of whatever. But when she comes to church, she's always a stirrer-upper. And you need to find the stirrer-uppers. You need to find the stirrer. Why don't you be a stirrer-upper? How about that? That would be really good. David's a stirrer-upper. I mean, everywhere he goes, he's stirring up stuff. I love that. But I'm always looking for the stirrer-uppers. Those are the people I want to sit by. They're the people I want to hang out with, because we all need to be stirred up. Amen. Amen. So I expect every time we walk into the church that at least half of us are on the stir-up measure at that moment. So that the other half of us can be stirred up by the time we go. Amen. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says, therefore, I remind you, Paul speaking here to Timothy, therefore, I remind you, look at that, I remind you. Sometimes I'm just going to remind you, and I'm going to remind you. You think it's a boring old story. No, I am reminding you. Amen. You know, Brother Hagin was a wonderful man of God, had such success in the ministry, was steady and stable, produced fruit for 60-something years. And there would be times people would go into his meetings and he would say, you know, let's open the Bible to Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 20. People would go. And he finally started telling him, he said, when you get it, I'll move on. He preached until he went to heaven. Amen. By the Spirit of the Lord, he preached it until he went to heaven. And I'm thankful that he told the same stories over and over and over and over and over and over. Because I use those stories. I use those stories to stir myself up. So it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So stir up. What are we to stir up? The gift of God. Now listen, this is the gift of God is a huge term right here. It can mean so many things. It means the person of God, the power of God, the presence of God within. It means everything that comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It could be the gift of His ministry gift. It could be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whatever is in us of God, we're to stir it up. We're going to have to stir it up, the Bible says. The gift within us many times is referred to as a fire. Praise God. You remember that on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit of God came down out of heaven? He sat on every fire, on every head like a flame. Come on, we all got the flame at Pentecost. When you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got the flame, and now you're going to have to work to keep that flame. You're going to have to fight that flame. Amen. That the word stir in this scripture actually means to kindle afresh the fire. So he's reminding, Paul, the apostle, is reminding us by the Holy Spirit that we're going to have to kindle afresh the fire of God that is within us. We're going to have to keep the flame full. Find out everything that's flame extinguishing and get it out of your life. And stir yourself up. I'll read it out of the Amplified. This is why I should remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers, to fan the flame and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. But look, it says, why I remind you. The initiative for keeping the fire stirred up, for keeping your soul alive in God, is upon you. It's not upon your pastor. What? You know, we're pretty quick to blame someone else for our lack of spiritual whatever's going on. Oh, the messages aren't that good. You know, no. It's your responsibility to keep your heart fiery for God, to keep yourself hot before the Lord, to keep yourself passionate for God, to keep yourself zealous for Him and the kingdom and all those things. The initiative for that is upon the recipient. Listen, in all seasons of life, whether you're a beginner or whether you're a mature believer, and really I find truthfully that the longer we go along the road, the more the natural self and the, you know, and let me just, I don't need to go to church anymore. Let me just go once a month. I don't need to go to Wednesday nights anymore. I'll just go on Sundays. That's a result of your fire dimming. I guarantee it. It's not God that's saying don't go.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. This truth applies to every believer, every preacher, every leader, every believer in every season of life.
Yeah.
And this is the truth is, this is when you're going to really find out how mature you really are. I love the new babies. I love the young people when they come in and they're fresh in the Lord and everything is exciting to them. We need that. But those young people need to see the mature people still stay in the course, still hungry for God, still expecting every time I walk in the corporate assembly, I'm here, man. I brought the supply of the Spirit. I mean, God is going to move. God is going to do something. I'm still reading my word. I'm still praying at home. I'm still speaking in tongues. I'm still sharing Christ everywhere I go. I'm still walking in love. I still want to go to church. I still want to find something to do in the family and serve. I still want to. The young people need to see that, because listen, one day they're not going to be quite so young in the Lord, and they're going to be walking out the same path of what they see.
Uh-huh.
It's important. Don't think that you can forego this stuff. I have found in the spirit, this is how I see it. In the spirit, we know the right things to do. We know the right things to do. It takes effort to do them. It takes effort to do them consistently and constantly and to stay with them. And there are boundaries. And the devil and your old ugly self will start telling you something. Well, you know, I've been going to women's ministry for 20 years. I think I can not do that anymore. I don't need to meet with the women. What's going to go on at the women's meeting? I mean, that's just an extra meeting. So it starts talking. Because you've developed a pattern. And all of a sudden, once you break past that boundary, once you do it once. Now, I'm not talking about something coming up, you having a vacation, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you deciding that you don't need to do that anymore. Once you break that boundary, you are now in no man's land. You are not in the spirit land anymore. You're in no man's land. And what happens is it gets easier. And first you do it once. And then you do it again. And then before you know it, we got to catch these things. We got to be alert to these things. We got to discern these things. We got to know these things. Why? Because Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. We are going to be accountable.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. These are not days to play church. We got to be the church. We got to live the church.
Amen.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
And because you do it, I do it.
Amen.
Thank you,
Bible. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin told the story one time. Brother Hagin told this story. He said there was a man, and he had been in the Lord several years, and he told Brother Hagin, he said, you know, something's wrong. He said, just something's wrong with me. He said, I'm just not excited, you know. He said, I want to have back. And I have heard so many people tell me this. I just wish I had the same excitement that I had when I first got saved. I mean, would you just pray for me? I mean, something must be wrong with me, because, you know, it's not all that exciting to read the word anymore. I find it a hard time to pray. Come on, I'm in a dry season. Come on, surely these words are not coming out of your mouth, right? Okay, please. But, you know, I'm in a dry season, and they believe the lie of the devil that something's wrong with them. Like, you can pray that off. And so he wanted Brother Hagin, you know, to pray for him, that he would have an excitement again about going to church, and he would have an excitement again about being in the Word and praying. And Brother Hagin said, I can't pray for you for that. You're going to have to stir yourself up. You're going to have to stir yourself up. You're going to have to get out of your natural self, your old sit back, your old thoughts.
Yes.
and stir yourself up into the right thing when the thought comes, I don't want to pray. No, I do. I mean, you gotta confront that. You gotta contend with that. You gotta stand against that. You gotta stir yourself up to the right thing. No, I do want to pray. I love to pray. I am a prayer. I pray all the time. I don't ever cease praying. I love to meet with God. I mean, you gotta stir yourself up. Because we buy into the lie that something's wrong with us. And once the devil makes you believe his lie, once you think there's something wrong with you, then really, you know, you have trouble. Then you have trouble finding God. Then you have trouble, you know, because you're believing the lie. Stop believing the lie. Nothing's wrong with you. It's just your old natural self trying to get the best of you. Don't let it. It's true. Thank you. I believe it. Or the other lie that we buy into is that God should fix it. That God should fix it. Lord, just give me a hunger for the word. Just give me a hunger for the word. Lord, just give me. Did you know that prayer is nowhere in the Bible? I have found the solution for hunger. Do you really want to know what it is? What you put your attention to is what you hunger after. The more you give your attention to something, the more your hunger develops. So stop praying to the Lord, asking Him to make you hungry to pray, and start praying. When that thought comes, instead of praying to God, just start praying. Just say, that's it. I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. And the more you pray, the more you'll want to pray. And the more you pray, the more you want to pray. The more you read your word, the more you want to read your word. Amen. Amen. This is about stirring ourselves up, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So 1 Timothy, don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. Chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all." Don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect what's in you. Don't neglect the fire. Don't neglect the presence. Don't neglect the gifts. Don't neglect the grace. Come on, don't neglect the assignments. Don't neglect the things of God that are in you. You got to meditate on them. The Amplified says to practice and cultivate and meditate upon them. Throw yourself fully into them. That's how you stir yourself up. What this scripture tells us is obviously there is a way to neglect. And if we neglect things, they'll get dim. Your gifts won't thrive. They'll get powerless. We're going to have to stir ourselves up. That's part of the faith life. Stirring ourselves up. And listen, we stir ourselves up inwardly. Okay? Now, I want to say this. Listen up carefully. Just because it's inwardly that we stir ourselves up does not mean sometimes the outward thing is not involved. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you need to run. Even though it's an outward thing, you need to run. Just like our mouth is a physical part of our body, and our voice is a physical thing. It's not our heart on the inside. But it's important that we use our mouth. Sometimes you got to shout at the devil. Sometimes you got to shout at your old man. Sometimes you need to get up in your house when you're feeling all down and low and bad about yourself and, oh, woe be unto me and what's going to happen and where's God and why can't he come through? You need to just get up and run around a little bit. Break yourself out of that old natural self. The flesh is it always wants to just lay low. You know, it just always wants, yeah. We got to realize that spiritual things require that we do something outside the box. When my body is telling me, no, I can't do something, I'm just going to get up right in the face of it and do something else. That's stirring yourself up. The devil now, he works to stir you up outwardly. He works to stir you up from a different... The devil's working to stir you up, but not spiritually. He's working to stir you up in the flesh. He wants to let things start bothering you, and you start thinking on something and thinking on it and thinking on it and thinking on it and thinking on it. And before you know it, your mind's all troubled and you're just fretting and, you know, blah, you're just in a state. That's your mind being stirred up. That's not how we do it with God. We got to go inward. We got to stir things up inwardly by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. We can't let the devil get his stirring on us. We got to learn how he tries to use our mind to stir us up and get us out of peace. No, no, no. There's a way to come out of that. And cause our mind to come under our spirit. Amen. But stir is an action word. We don't stir by doing nothing. We don't stir by just thinking, I might should do something. We got to do something. We got to stir things up. By what we're looking at, what we're listening to, what we're reading, what we're thinking, what we're speaking about who God is, about what God has done, past, present, and future. We stir ourselves up by worshiping. That includes sometimes making a melody in your heart. It includes sometimes singing a spiritual song, singing a new song. Don't just let the old pull out your CD and somebody else tell you what to sing all the time. Be a crutch to you. Amen. Worship is from your heart. Come on, let your heart be stirred up to some things. What do you want to say to God? What do you want to express to God? We stir ourselves up by worship. We stir ourselves up by thanking God. We stir ourselves up by rejoicing. We stir ourselves up by praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying a scripture out loud. We stir ourselves up by speaking in tongues. I always say that speaking in tongues is like a spiritual spoon. I mean, it'll just get things to moving. Because the devil can't get in it. Listen, when you're speaking in tongues, the devil can't get in it. And you're speaking perfectly to God, and the devil's like, huh? Huh? Don't do it, man. Don't. Oh, no, no, no. And all kind of things. Listen, when we're speaking in tongues, all kind of things are happening and moving and shaking around. Amen. Praise God. We stir ourselves up by fasting. Can you rewind that ad? The four-letter F word of Christianity. Fast. Fast, 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 fast. Fast, 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 fast. Ha ha. Fast, fast. Stirs yourself up in the things of God. Absolutely. By meditating, by confessing the Bible, also by His words to us. Amen. You stir yourself up by things that God has said to you, putting yourself in remembrance, looking at them, saying them, agreeing with them. You stir yourself up by remembering former testimonies. Telling old testimonies, telling new testimonies. Let the spirit of prophecy, testimony be on your lips. That's a stirring up. You feel really, you're having a really bad day. Find someone to just say something about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And something will come. Seriously, reading those testimonies, it can stir stuff up. I remember one time, I know I've told y'all this story, but I was overseas, and the pastor got up at the end of service and said, you know, on such and such time, she's going to have a healing service. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know, I usually like the Lord to say that because, you know, I can't heal nobody. And so, but he was a pastor, and so I thought, well, I'm just going to get up under what he said. He's the pastor. He's the head of the house. So, Lord, we're going to have a healing service. He must have known something I didn't know. And so that day I woke up, you know, I woke up feeling the pressure of having a healing service. You know, because like I said, I can't heal nobody. And so I knew one thing. Well, I've seen God heal a lot of people. I've seen God heal a lot of people. So I'm going to get out my healing testimony. I'm going to get out all my healing testimonies because I've written them down. Because I read them, and I read them, and I read them, and I say them, and I think about them, and I talk about them. And so I sat in the chair. I just got in the chair, and I got my testimonies out. And I just started reading, and I started reading. And after about an hour, I was like, whoa, we are having a healing service tonight. I was so stirred up, literally, I was like, when is the hour coming? When is the hour coming? I mean, it was like that. I'm telling y'all, we had a blowout. I think still to this day, probably the most powerful healing service I've ever seen was that night. And it just took me an hour of stirring myself up in God's healing power. We stir ourselves up by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Last week when I was up at Brother Hankins, you know, I mean, it was the first night service I was there. And I was like, bless God, I need a refreshing. Ha ha. And I just, that's it. I don't know what everybody else was doing, but I was getting drunk right there for you. The Spirit was there and I was just yielding. I got so intoxicated, it was wonderful. I needed it. But I had to yield to it. I had to get myself in a place and start yielding. You know, getting a drink. Sometimes you need a drink. You need to learn to drink. We're talking about drink. We're not talking about drinking alcohol. We're talking about drinking the new wine. We're talking about the best stuff that does a really good thing for you and don't have any after effects other than just a good thing with the Lord. But you gotta learn to drink, and sometimes you're gonna have to, if you're gonna stay stirred up, you're gonna have to get a good drink. You're gonna have to get a good feeling of the Holy Ghost. Feeling, not feeling. Well, we like a good feeling too, but a good feeling of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you gotta yield by, like I said, you gotta get up in your house and start running or dancing or shouting. And you know, when people tell me, I don't do that, oh, listen. Those words right there tell me that is the very thing that you need to do. Because God is not interested in what you do. The Holy Spirit is not interested in you. If you like to go around your house like doing that, He's not interested in that. He wants to slap down, put you down on your face where you're slobbering on the floor or something that you're not used to. Or make you run around your house or whatever it is. Amen. This is part of the faith life. We're going to have to stir ourselves up. I've not yet gotten to the main part of the message. It's okay. It's all right. We just keep on stirring. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter made this. He said, yes, I think it's right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. See, the preachers, we can help. We can help some. We can say some things. We can help initiate some things. But it's really about you. It's about you responding. But in case most of you've noticed, with the exception of Pastor Chaz, I don't go home with y'all. Pastor Chaz doesn't go home with you. Okay? So you're going to have to learn to stir yourself up. Maybe you heard something at church that's a good initiator for you, but you're going to have to act upon that at home. The word there, stir, means to awaken from a sleep or a slumber. It means to arouse or to wake up fully. And it implies being alert, energetic, and lively. Hallelujah. I love this life. This is the best life. We don't have to live all down and out and boring and... I like the way Brother Mark says it. You know, he always says that when the Holy Ghost gets on you, you can't just sit still. And you need to realize that. So sometimes if you're in your house and you're just determined you're going to sit still, the Holy Ghost will be like, well, I'll be over here when you're ready to not sit still. Turn with me to over Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. So first we saw that we were to stir up the gift of God in us. The gift of God in us. Hallelujah. The gift of God, we're to stir up the gift of God in us. Saw that over there in Timothy. Now we're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How about that? When's the last time you stirred yourself up to love and good works? It says, first of all, if we're going to stir ourselves up to love and good works, that we have to consider one another. And this is where we find that the gospel is really not quite as selfish as we tend to live it most of the time. We got to consider others. Have you considered that maybe you need to go to church for other people? You know, I mean, hey, since we all get so mature and we don't really need to go and we don't really need to hear anything anymore. I've not had that thought one time since I got Spirit-filled and in the kingdom. And I was not a preacher and a pastor for many years. I never had that thought one time. Maybe you need to go to church for somebody else. This tells us that we're to stir ourselves up as to love and to do good works. Sometimes you're going to have to stir yourself up to the love walk. You are going to have to stir yourself up in that. Listen, the only reason our faith works is because of love. The only reason your faith works is because you're loving God and loving people. You got the right motives. Who was it that said, when you want the same thing that God wants for the same reasons that God wants it, you become unstoppable. But we got to stir ourselves up to love. Have you noticed in the church life, this thing requires some love walk? Have you noticed yet that I'm not perfect? Don't answer. What? I'm well aware of it. Have you noticed that you're not perfect? Have y'all, any of you noticed that on any given time, whether it be anybody or yourself, that wrong perceptions, wrong interpretations, vain imaginations, someone steps outside, has a bad moment, says something that's a little sharp, all those kind of things happen, so what? We're just going to stir ourselves up to love. Just to love, 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 love. Just to love. It's so much better just to love. All that nastiness, all that unforgiveness, all that offense, all that stuff just carried around, it just messes your life up. Listen, and most of the time, I don't even mess up the person that you're whatever with. It just messes you up. Love is just so much better, but we're going to have to stir ourselves up. I mean, sometimes you're just going to have to spend some time just in the love scriptures, just thinking about people, just loving people, how I love them, how I want to bless them, Lord, how I want to help them. And stir ourselves up, look, to good works. To good works, to serving God. We have to stay stirred up in that, no matter how long you've done it, no matter how many years, we got to stay serving God. This is what we do. You do know, and y'all are going to laugh, but this is the truth. You do know that one day we're going to come back with the Lord and we're going to rule and reign in the earth for eternity.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that many of us are going to be doing the same thing for eternity. It's really true. What you're going to live in eternity, your reward in eternity, your assignment in eternity, your place, your position in eternity is all based on what you do in the earth. And I think that God looks around and says, who can stick it out? Who can be faithful? Who can do that for 30 years and not complain? Okay, moving on. But we do need to consider one another. We need to consider, how can I love God and serve God? How can I love the household of faith and serve the household of faith? How can I love and serve other people? We need to be stirring ourselves up for that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now the message begins. I wanted to talk to y'all about stirring yourself up with prophecy and the things that God says. And I wanted to talk about prophecy and the written word, rhema word, and prophecies that come, and how it's part of the fight of faith, and how you're going to have to stir yourself up to the things that God has said. But I don't want to rush through it. I don't want to rush through it. I feel like it's a really it's a really something from God. I feel like I need to share. So maybe tonight we'll, how about, can we put down the thing? So how about tonight we just at least spend maybe a few moments just worshiping God for a moment. Before we start, I'm going to have them get everything ready, pull the screen down, get the song up and everything. But don't start till I say. But this is a wonderful life. We need to stir ourselves up to being mindful of what we really do have in God. You know, it's quick once we've been, once all the initial excitement wears off, it's easy to forget what it was like when we didn't really know God or when we didn't really have the fullness of God's Spirit. We forget what it was like. We forget that so easily. We have to stir ourselves up to that. This is a wonderful life that we have. Even with the trials and the tribulations, listen, Jesus said that we get to overcome, that we get to have faith and we get to have patience. We get to inherit the promises. Come on, we get to win in life. It may not be like an easy road, but it's a better road because we got it with God. Listen, the truth is you're in the earth. You're going to be here regardless. So we have the ability to do it with God or the ability to do it without God. And what happens is we get over here in the with God category and we see the possibilities, the wonderful possibilities. But why can't we keep the possibilities as a something we're striving for happily rather than getting mad that I haven't seen that exactly like I want it? We know this is available. And so instead of realizing what it would be like to be out without God and not even have that available, we get over here and we get gruff and we get, you know, where's God and why isn't this working and blah, 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 blah. That's the old man. Amen. And really those things keep us out of. Those things keep us out of the things that we are needing. But listen, for every trial, for every tribulation, for every season, for everything that we have to endure, there's a way to do it with God. There's a way to find joy in the midst of it. There's a way to praise your way. Well, isn't that what Paul and Silas did? Didn't they praise their way right out? Didn't they praise them? I mean, right in the midst of the darkest, the dingiest, the worst. I mean, they were bound up. I mean, it was bad. I mean, there was no looking in the city. Well, where is God? God said that nothing bad was going to happen to me. Where is God? We need to go back to that thing Pastor Chaz did several weeks ago out murmuring. They didn't do that. They just begin to sing praises. Listen, and we don't even know that it was like songs of deliverance. We don't even know that they just begin to praise God. They were just so happy that they had a life with God. Even if they'd have lost their life at that moment, they were destined for heaven. Praise God. How quickly we forget this wonderful life that we have with God. We've got to stir ourselves up. We've got to keep ourselves ablaze. Let the flame burn. Hot and bright and full. And this is what I love about the family is that we get to do it together. We get to do it together. And even though we don't come to church complaining and murmuring and whatever, we got our heads held up high. Come on, we're walking by faith anyway. We have no idea. Just us being here, just us loving, just us serving, us playing the music, us doing something with the kids in the back, how it's encouraging us, how it's building us up, how it's helping us get down along the road. This is what family life is all about. Just about the time that you're feeling pretty cold, you know, you run up to somebody and they got their fire flame, woo! And your frozen self gets unfrozen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Is this helping you?
Yes.
You know, all throughout the scriptures, it says, I think it right to remind you. I'm going to have to remind you to stir up. Come on, stir yourself up to love. Stir yourself up to good works. Come on, stir yourself up to the gift of God in you. Got to stir it up. It's part of our faith walk. I love faith. Hallelujah. We're going to live by faith. We're going to win. Jesus is coming back. I recently heard something. I can't remember who said it, so just bear with me. But they were asking someone that was very connected with a lot of the old timers that were very powerful ministers. And they said, what is it, if you could say that there's one thing today that you don't see in church or that you don't hear in church that the old timers used to have that you feel like has made a big difference in kind of the state of where the church is at, what would it be? And this is what they said. They said that they don't hear the preacher saying that Jesus is coming back. Because listen, we're going to have to live in the reality that eternity is coming. Yeah. Jesus is coming back. Yeah. I don't know when, but listen, I've only got one life. You've only got one life. We've only got one chance. There's no redos. There's no going back. We got to make the most of every day so that when he comes, we'll be prepared. We're going to be serving. We're going to be loving. We're going to be about our assignments. We're going to be working hard. We're not going to be found over in the ditch. We're not going to be found with lazy faith. We're not going to be found shipwrecked. We're not going to be found outside of the assembly trying to do it on our own. Jesus is coming. And I remember last year at this time, in the course of 3 months, I was in several different meetings and I heard Brother Copeland say, I heard, I'm not sure who the other, four ministers, four well-known ministers in the course of 3 months, I heard them all say something about Jesus coming back. We can't lose sight of that. It does matter. Jesus is coming. And it's not going to be okay when Jesus comes to just gotten by the seat of your pants and it just, woo, I made it. It's not going to feel like that. We want to have some fruit. We want to have some reward. So we're going to have to live stirred up. We're going to have to live by faith. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.